Our guests today are Jan Estep, the president and CEO of NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association. That's the governing body for the ACH network. The ACH network enables the direct movement of money and information from one bank to another, including direct deposit. And Steve Stone, Senior Vice President of PNC Bank. PNC Bank provides solutions to enable businesses of all sizes to offer direct deposit via ACH. And Nancy Register, the Associate Director of the Consumer Federation of America and Director of America Saves. CFA's goal is to advance the consumer interest through research, advocacy, and education, and they encourage consumer use of direct deposit via ACH as a savings vehicle. Great to have you all on. And why don't we start there, the whole idea of the savings vehicle, because I think what we're trying to bring out is that direct deposit is not simply a way of getting money from point A to point B. Nancy, can you comment?
Yes, thank you. And thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to talk about the importance of direct deposit and its ability to facilitate good savings behavior. It's important. It's an important issue for America Saves. And direct deposit is something that America Saves certainly wants every employee to be able to take advantage of. But the important thing for us is that it provides a direct path for people to be able to save. When we talk to savers around the country, and America Saves now has over 300,000 savers who have enrolled in the campaign, virtually every single one of them who have been successful in saving say that one of the most important ways that they have been able to save is through automatic saving. And when you have the ability to directly deposit your paycheck and then split it into a savings account on a regular basis, that makes it automatic. And what you don't see, you don't miss. And this is, we believe, one of the most important reasons why direct deposit is important. The other reason is that saving in the workplace is a very important way to do that. And it is one of the primary places where people can save successfully. Our research shows that when employers talk to their employees about money, they listen. And so employers need to encourage their employees to save regularly, and direct deposit and a split deposit is one of the primary ways to do that.
All right, Steve Stone, PNC Bank, what do you see in terms of the business customer activity with respect to helping their employees save from PNC's perspective?
Well, I think we see a number of things. Responsible employers see it as a potential employee benefit. Employees like direct deposit. They like the convenience. They like the safety. They like the environmental benefits of direct deposit. I want to follow up on one of Nancy's comments, though. When we talk about the benefits of savings, there are a couple of things that we've seen among customers who have direct deposit. Their average balances tend to be higher. They are less likely to incur service charges, and service charges can actually be a fairly significant expense, particularly to lower income individuals. So if you can avoid a late fee, an overdraft fee, NSF kind of a charge because your money was automatically deposited, that's great. If you're not walking around with a lot of cash in your pocket because you had to cash your paycheck in its entirety, I think that's certainly safer, and it leaves the money in the bank where it can earn interest or be used for longer-term savings objectives. So we agree 100% with Nancy's observations on the benefits of direct deposit as a savings vehicle.
And Jan Estep of NACHA, your organization you're the glue of all this. Tell us how it helps and enables this, especially the savings and frugality and building wealth idea.
Yeah, the ACH network actually kind of seamlessly passes payments and information from one bank account to another. So it is the mechanism behind direct deposit via ACH. And what's interesting is that direct deposit has been around for almost 40 years. It started way back in the early 1970s because the U.S. government had a need to administer Social Security payments. The Air Force also wanted to pay its personnel that were dispersed all across the country and didn't want to have to put checks in the mail and have that delay via mail and then have their Air Force personnel have to find a bank and deposit it, et cetera. So it has been around for a very long time. And I think the notion that some employees don't take advantage of that today is really the reason why we're talking. Because the safety, the security, the environmental benefits, as Steve called out, are very apparent and understandable by those who use direct deposit. And it's a question of figuring out why everyone doesn't.
And just a point of information for those companies that do use direct deposit, is do you find it the case that most of them require it of employees? You can't have the option for a check anymore, or is that still not quite the case?
Well, we still see situations where employers strongly encourage direct deposit. State payroll laws actually control what employers are allowed to do, and there are states where it is allowable to make it a mandatory payroll process, but there are also states where it's not. So we think the vast majority of employees make it an employee option, but in many cases it is the default option. You would have to request a check as opposed to, you know, the opposite, where you would request a direct deposit, and we think that's probably the right way to go.
So there's somebody there that still has a quill pen upstairs writing the checks for those few people that insist on it?
Yeah, there are actually 3/4 of all workers today are paid by direct deposit. And what's interesting is that when employees are on direct deposit, they love it. Close to 100% of employees on direct deposit want to continue. So it isn't a question of does it work, and if you have it, do you like it? The real key to getting up to 100%, we have found, is that many small businesses do not offer direct deposit to their employees. And it could be that they just don't know the first 1, 2, or 3 steps to take towards that process. And if they did, they might be happier and their employees might be happier in the end, too.
All right, we're going to cover all of that. But first, I wanted to ask about the study that you have launched and got some results on, surveying this whole community of people that still need to do this. What are some of the top highlights of the study? And what might be information that can help companies go forward that may not have direct deposit at this point?
Yeah, I mentioned a minute ago that 2/3 of small businesses do not offer direct deposit to their employees. And what that really means is that about 3 million companies are still issuing paper checks. So that's a fairly large number, and it equates then to about 18 million workers across the country that don't have the benefit of direct deposit via ACH. For many of those small businesses, it's because they have a misconception about direct deposit one way or the other. And our survey gave us clues to some of those reasons that they don't offer direct deposit and also some of the misconceptions.
All right. And I suppose, Nancy Register from Consumer Federation of America, that's a consumer issue in many ways, even though it happens between the person and their employer.
Well, you know, it is. And the issue there, I think, is boils down to information and education. And it's both an employer responsibility and an employee ability to ask that their employers provide this type of service. And certainly for us, then the employer needs to go that second step and make possible the split deposit that helps you save a portion of that paycheck every month. So it is certainly an issue for consumers, and consumers have avenues where they can try to seek the ability to have direct deposit from their employers. And so I'm sure that Jan and Steve can talk about that, because it's a partnership between employers and banks as well as employees and their employers.
And Jan, I wanted to ask you, what were some of the reasons that you found in the survey that people don't do this?
Almost half of the small businesses thought that they had too few employees to either be able to offer direct deposit or to be able to justify it. Another 25% thought that their employees preferred checks and wanted to actually receive the checks so that they knew they were paid. Again, a misconception when you think about all the employees that are totally satisfied once they understand how direct deposit works.
And Steve, I imagine the bank is a great education point for those people that answered that way.
Right. We try to educate employers on the benefits of direct deposit. We have programs at PNC, other banks probably do as well, where we'll actually go into the workplace and through a product that we call workplace banking, we will actually help employees set up bank accounts. We will explain to them the benefits of direct deposit. And in many cases, a direct deposit recipient will qualify for a free or reduced rate checking account because we understand the benefits that come along with that employee getting direct deposit. And again, in terms of the higher balances and the reduced service charges and that kind of thing, it makes them a more desirable customer to the bank. So we want to encourage that kind of behavior.
Now, when I was a kid, if you put $100 in the bank, you got a quarter of a quart of wood, firewood maybe, or a little bank that looked like a Model T. Do you have some incentive for business customers if they do that? Maybe a, not a car, but a quart of wood nowadays to account for inflation?
There are incentives for businesses to participate in these kinds of programs, but typically, again, it comes in the form of reduced fees or access to additional service capabilities that might not be available if they didn't have it. But it's been a well-received program, and to Jan's research, we've seen some of the same kinds of objections raised by small business customers. But then once we explain to them that there are options available that will help them replace those handwritten checks that they're generating, or replace those locally printed checks with a direct deposit alternative, and we answer the questions about how does my employee get a pay stub, how will my employee know that he or she has been paid, how will I be able to file my tax returns, when we can answer those kinds of questions, then all of a sudden a lot of the barriers to direct deposit acceptance start to melt away.
I imagine the costs are lower to those companies overall when they sign up to do this, because they don't have the whole apparatus of writing checks.
Yeah, part of the convenience of direct deposit is clearly a benefit to not only the employees, but also the small business. Once they have their employees signed up and ready to accept direct deposit, it really happens almost automatically every week. If they're on a set salary, there's literally nothing that needs to be done. If they're hourly employees, there's simple ways that have been set up now to enter the hours worked for the last week or 2 weeks. So again, pretty quick from an employer standpoint to really make sure direct deposit works easily and conveniently.
And how does it work? What do you have to do to make it happen?
Well, I think it depends on a couple of factors, but in its simplest form, a company would approach its financial institution. They would enter into an agreement with the financial institution where the bank, savings and loan, credit union would provide the terms and conditions under which the service could be offered. Those are commonly available. There are a large number of what we would call originating financial institutions, the banks that can help you create those direct deposit files. Once we've gotten that paperwork, the agreement, then we would help the employer get authorizations from the individual employees, because the employer will still have to know where you want your money to be sent. And once that information has been obtained, then to Jan's point, we set it up, and there are tools to do that will allow the recurring deposit of those payments to be done with really a minimal amount of effort on the part of the employer.
And of the companies that don't do this, you said that two-thirds of them are two-thirds of small businesses, and that's hundreds of thousands of businesses, 18 million employees. Are there particular industries that they're in? How else could you characterize the non-believers at this point?
Yeah, this study actually showed a pretty consistent spread across industries. Again, more correlation to the size of the business. Certainly those with less than 100 employees were the ones most represented as not using direct deposit. But if you wanted to segment the industry classification a little bit further, those who tended to not use direct deposit had more of the hourly workers. So industries where they weren't salary employees, but rather had majorities of hourly, felt that the process may be too burdensome. Or maybe they hadn't even been approached with someone offering direct deposit to them. So I think, again, part of this is education, communication, knowing how easily it could be set up even for those hourly workers.
And Nancy, I imagine that with respect to savings, you have some pretty good data about who saves in America, how much they save. Is the saving rate a little worse for hourly employees versus salaried across the country? What do we know about how people save, what the patterns are now?
Well, we do know, and the biggest correlation, of course, is income. And that's the people who make the least have the hardest time saving, and particularly saving regularly. But we also know that people at all income levels can and do save. So, and we also know that young people are a good target to start talking about saving when they first get into the workforce, get that first paycheck. And so we are working to encourage young people who are maybe working for the first time with Mayor's summer jobs programs, or have their first job out of school, to start to save regularly from there. I want to go back for just a minute, though, to talk a little bit about financial decision making, because this is really what direct deposit is. It's a financial decision. And so behavioral economics, which has come to the fore in recent years to talk about what those components of financial decision making are, one of them is, and I think speaks to this probably more than any of the others, is the hassle factor. In order to get people to adopt a behavior that you want them to adopt, you really have to reduce the hassles. And that is implementation of what you want them to do, as well as participation in what you want them to do. So the implementation side for small businesses is making adoption of direct deposit as simple and as easy as possible for them, so to reduce those hassles. And for employees, it has to be clear in one step. We know that if people have to take two or three steps to do something, you're going to lose them. They're not going to do it. So it has to be as clear as possible for them to see what they need to be doing. So I think that these are all instructive to us as we try to figure out the ways to make direct deposit available.
And it's probably a fact that no matter what your income level is, it might be, it is possible to save money.
That's exactly right, particularly if you do it automatically on a regular basis. And I keep coming back to that, but that really is a key to successful saving.
Better than trying to hit the casino.
Yeah, or have, that's right. Or, you know, CFA did a study quite a while ago that showed that people thought they could win the lottery before they could save significant amounts of money over time. So that's a hard perception to overcome.
Our guests today are Jan Estep, President and CEO of NACHA, the Electronic Payments Association, Steve Stone, Senior Vice President of PNC Bank, and Nancy Register, Associate Director of the Consumer Federation of America and Director of America Saves. You're listening to the panel, The Perfect Score, supporting small businesses to achieve 100% adoption of direct deposit via ACH. Sponsored by NACHA. We'll return after the short break. I'm Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Stay tuned.